Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. So we made it past the saddest Mardi Gras day. And I think it's safe to say the saddest Mardi Gras day in history.
In my lifetime, yes.
At least in our lifetimes. Just a very, very sad, pathetic Mardi Gras day. And happy Ash Wednesday. If you are Catholic, Coleman, I know I won't see ashes on you. You're a non-believer. You're one of them atheists. But you want to believe.
Yeah, sure. If I had enough sufficient evidence.
You're like the singer from Poison, Bret Michaels. You're looking for something to believe in. But if you're like me and you're Catholic, happy Ash Wednesday. Go get a piece of ash. I know that there are some churches in the metropolitan New Orleans region who do drive-through ashes. You don't even have to get out of your car to get your piece of ash. You just roll down your window, and then a hand comes out with some ash on it, and there you go, right on your forehead.
Are they going to be able to give ashes away from 6 feet apart? Are they going to use a extender or something like that, or did you just have to be COVID?
Good question. Well, you know how they have selfie sticks?
Yeah, that's
that you can that you can put on your cell phone to take selfies. I think they have selfie ash sticks.
Cool.
Maybe poking you in the forehead they put masks on, so they can get within 6 feet. Hey, if you've got masks on, right? That's what we've been told. So anyways, happy Ash Wednesday. Did you see where we talked about Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy at this time on the show the other morning? Because there's a lot of voters, a lot of people here in the state of Louisiana who aren't happy with Republican senior senator of Louisiana, Bill Cassidy, for being one of the very few Republicans. I believe only 7 Republicans voted to when it came to the second Donald Trump impeachment. Bill Cassidy was only one of 7 Republicans to vote to impeach. And when we were talking about it the other day, he just got reelected this past November, so he's good for 6 years. He's in for another almost 6 years now. So and you can't recall a United States senator. I know he angered a bunch of people when he voted for that, but he didn't anger as many people as Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger from the Midwest. He 6-term Republican congressman, so he's been there 12 years, representing the state of Illinois. State Rep Adam Kinzinger. He received a handwritten letter from 11 family members disowning him over his opposition of former President Donald Trump. So he was one of the Republicans in the Congress, in the United States House of Representatives, who voted to impeach Donald Trump. And 11 family members signed a handwritten letter saying, we're finished with you. You're done. We are disowning you. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So before this, you know, these 11 family members were like, yeah, we got one of our relatives, one of our cousins, a brother, an uncle. He's a United States congressman. But because, and I'm sure they used to tell people, but now, because of this, he's been officially disowned by 11 family members. I remember on this radio show talking about how people lost Facebook friends. And some of the Facebook friends were even real friends who they actually saw. They didn't just wish happy birthday when their Facebook friend's birthday popped up on their screen in front of them when they signed on in the morning. They just didn't go to their page and say, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss when one of their Facebook friend's fathers died at the age of 90. Oh, my prayers and thoughts and my condolences. There's a lot of Facebook people, Coleman. That's their relationship with people. They wish them happy birthday. And they say, I'm sorry when they post a relative just died. I know some people, that's the only communication that they have on Facebook.
But that's all you need on Facebook.
But this is more than just Facebook friends. This is 11 family members of six-term Illinois Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger signed a letter, 11, disowning him. Quote, oh my, what a disappointment you are to us and to God.
Oh.
We were once so proud of your accomplishments. Instead, you go against your Christian principles and join the devil's army, who include Democrats and fake news media. According to this is the letter of disownment. That's what the letter reads.
I don't know, like, it's sad when you take politics so seriously that when somebody deviates from your preferred politics, that they want to disown you from being their relative. They want to disown your blood. Y'all share DNA. Y'all share history. But the fact that this person deviated from what they believe is the right way, that's when you take it either. That's too serious. It's not that politics is not supposed to be that serious. We can disagree. I can say I disagree with this idea. I'm not down with this. I think this is wrong. But to say, you know what? I don't even want you to be my family member anymore. I don't even want to, like, claim you as my blood.
Yeah, you're out.
Yeah, that's taking politics to a whole another level where it shouldn't even get that far.
The two-page letter, Coleman, goes on to defend Donald Trump as a man of Christian faith.
Is this more religious or is it more popular? You think they disown him because of religious beliefs?
That's part of it.
All right.
The letter also criticizes Congressman Kinzinger for attacking the former president, reportedly saying, quote, you won't convince us otherwise with your horrible, rude accusations of President Trump to embrace a party that believes in abortion and socialism is the ultimate sin. Quote, it is now most embarrassing to us that we are related to you. You have embarrassed the Kinzinger family name. We are thoroughly disgusted with you. And oh, by the way, we are calling for your removal from office. It concludes, President Trump has done more for the American people in 4 years than you, the rhinos, and the Democrats have done in years. And if you're not sure what a rhino is, that means a Republican in name only. That's what that stands for. Kinzinger's cousin, her name's Karen Otto, told the New York Times that she wrote the letter.
Of course Karen wrote the letter.
Her name's Karen.
Of course Karen wrote the letter. Yes, now it makes complete sense.
Which includes signatures from 10 other relatives and paid $7 to send it via certified mail to the congressman's father. She also said she sent copies to Republicans across the state of Illinois and the state's congressional delegation. Yeah, they're taking it serious.
Clearly.
And Karen continued, I wanted Adam to be shunned. she told the New York Times. And then Adam Kinzinger said he was bummed out, but look, he's not going to lose any sleep over it. That's basically what he said. I lost 11 family members for doing my job. But although, did he really do his job as a Republican? One of the very few Republicans who voted to,
you know, Karen saying that
against Trump.
She wanted her family member to be embarrassed. She wanted him to be shunned. She wanted him to be removed from office. That doesn't sound very loving and Christian. It doesn't sound like forgiveness. It doesn't sound like an open heart. That sounds like disdain and hatred. That is my opinion.
Coleman, coming from an atheist, that's pretty deep coming from you. Because it doesn't sound like a Christian.
No, not at all.
It doesn't. You know, if you don't like what somebody does, you're supposed to hate the sin, not the sinner.
Exactly.
You're supposed to, you know. But not with Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger's family. And he said, well, I guess the good news is next Christmas, he's not going to have to spend as much money on Christmas presents for his family. That's 11 Christmas presents he doesn't have to buy. If they disowned him.
But really, John, think about your family. What could any of your family members possibly do to make you feel like, you know what, I don't even want, is there anything you could think? I have I have some family members that aren't upstanding citizens, but
I've got a couple of cousins. Maybe we'll talk about that at some other point.
Yeah, I can't see myself
disowning
anyone.
I don't see myself.
Right.
I mean, I just don't speak with them. That's different than disowning them. But I've got a couple of cousins that have done a few doozies in their lives. Hey, and speaking of Karen, coming up on the show. You know how the women who don't wear masks and they get yelled at in stores, they're called Karens? Are they more of a Karen than the women with the masks who are chasing them around the stores, yelling at them for not wearing a mask? Who's more of a Karen? Wait, out of those two groups of people, I want to, that, we got a lot we got to do on the show today. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. Well, we made it past the saddest Mardi Gras day that we've ever seen. And with the mayor shutting the city down for Mardi Gras Day, and you think of the tens of millions of dollars that didn't show up this year because of that. And I walked around a little bit yesterday. And by the way, yesterday, it was so cold in New Orleans, you couldn't even say it was freezing because it wasn't even 32 degrees. It wasn't even freezing. It was less than freezing yesterday. And on the show yesterday, when we came in here yesterday morning, it was 24 degrees. And I said that, it's a cold one, but it's not the record cold. The record cold was 16 below zero in 1899 here in the state of Louisiana. But that was way up in the northwest corner of the state. As far as New Orleans goes, yesterday broke a record. Yesterday in the city of New Orleans was the coldest it's ever been on Mardi Gras Day. They say it shattered, well, at least it shattered a 122-year record. So in the city yesterday, it was as cold as we've ever seen it on Mardi Gras.
And I still believe if it wasn't for the COVID restrictions, even at the coldest Mardi Gras, if it was a regular Fat Tuesday, people would have still been out there in the record freezing cold.
You don't think they would have postponed or moved the parades? They would have rolled in the record breaking cold yesterday for Mardi Gras.
They probably would have rerouted a few of them depending on the weather, whether it was rainy. But if it was just cold with no wetness, it would have rolled. People would have still been on Bourbon Street.
And I know, Coleman, you're upset because Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras Day, is your favorite day. It's your Christmas. It's your favorite day of the year because you get to go to Bourbon Street and see boobs. And you didn't do that yesterday.
No.
No, there weren't many boobs on Bourbon Street yesterday. There were some groups of people who did gather. But the New Orleans cops were there, and they broke up those small gatherings quickly. That's interesting. I wish the New Orleans cops could stop people from shooting each other in this city, and they could stop people from carjacking other people like they stopped people from gathering on Mardi Gras Day. I wish they were able to do that. But when I was walking around yesterday around lunchtime, Coleman, I mean, Popeye's Chicken right there on Canal, just a block up from Bourbon Street, closed. Popeye's was closed. There's many businesses were closed because Mardi Gras Day is right next to Christmas when it comes to biggest holidays of the year here in New Orleans. There were a lot of businesses. And obviously because the tax cheat mayor, shut down the city of New Orleans for Mardi Gras Day, a lot more businesses were closed than they would have been open if the city wasn't shut down to tourists and anybody, even locals, anybody gathering for Mardi Gras Day.
After we left the show yesterday, we was walking to the car, and I asked, did you notice anything different about today? Usually you'll hear music in the background. Usually you'll see some sort of a crowd. But we heard birds chirping. There was no music. There wasn't the guy on the corner dressed as Darth Vader. You know, to say it was Fat Tuesday, it was completely barren. We didn't hear any noise. We didn't hear any distant music. We didn't hear any crowds speaking. It was just a regular day. Not even a regular day. It was less populated than a regular day to say it was actually Fat Tuesday.
It was surreal, right, is what it was. I mean, between Mardi Gras being canceled and the record-breaking freezing temperatures, less than freezing temperatures here in New Orleans yesterday. Now, yeah, even the people that are usually on Mardi Gras Day, the people that are usually passed out sleeping on the sidewalk that you trip over or step over, they weren't there because of those two reasons, because of the very cold temperatures and Mardi Gras being canceled. But it was bizarre. You know, the last 11 months during the whole coronavirus pandemic shutdown of New Orleans, the last 11 months, it's been like the Twilight Zone. Yesterday, it defined the Twilight Zone, and it was surreal. I mean, I know many cities and many places in our country have gone through what we've gone through here in New Orleans with the pandemic in the last 11 months. But the big difference is here is that going to see live music, going to have a beer, to have a cocktail, going into places for those two things, Those are two of the main arteries to the heart of the city of New Orleans. You know, you could tell people that somewhere in California who live in the suburbs, or somewhere in Florida who live in the suburbs, or wherever, well, you know, things are shut down. And they'd be like, all right, well, it's the pandemic. But here in New Orleans, when you can't go into a bar to have a beer to go see live music, you can't go into a bar to see live music, you can't go in, you are literally surgically removing two arteries to the heart of the city of New Orleans. Those two things are right at the top of the list of what people do in this city. We, you know, food, the food in this city is another artery. And we have millions of people, well, not last year, but before coronavirus, we have 10, 12, 14, 15 million people a year visit the city of New Orleans. And those are two of the main reasons why they visit, because they want to be able to go sit down in a place, enjoy some alcohol, enjoy some great live music. We haven't been able to do that in 11 months in this city. Yet the crime still keeps happening. People still get shot every day. People get carjacked every day. People get mugged and jumped every day here in the city of New Orleans. That hasn't changed. The only difference is sometimes you'll see those thieves wearing face masks because they don't want to spread the virus. So, you know, the last 11 months here in New Orleans, where I live, it's close to being like hell. This is close to being like hell on earth. This must be what hell is like.
If hell froze over.
Well, yesterday it finally did. On Mardi Gras Day 2021, hell froze over here in the city of New Orleans. But we are optimists on this show. And you know, the good times are going to come back.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of makeup work to do. We can't let this one slide. I'm not going to feel right if this entire year goes by without some sort of reveling on behalf of the Mardi Gras spirit.
And you would have to think next year, Fat Tuesday will be the fattest, most obese Tuesday that we've seen in a long time.
Oh, no, we're not even going to wait that long. If everybody gets vaccinated and everything is supposed to be open like they said it is by summer, watch how this Halloween is going to go. They're going to blend Mardi Gras with Halloween this year and just do it all together at once.
Yeah, hopefully the summertime, by the end of the summer, most people will be vaccinated. I mean, things are opening up now.
Yeah, slowly but surely, yeah.
Things are slowly opening around the country, not here in New Orleans, but things around the country are slowly opening up. So we've made it past the saddest Mardi Gras day, the saddest Fat Tuesday, and things are going to get better.
Speaking of which, what are you giving up for Lent out of this Ash Wednesday?
We'll talk about that coming up on the show. Got a lot to do this morning on the show. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. According to a new poll, Congress's approval rating is at 18%. To put that in perspective, 19% approve of the polar vortex. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. I do not remember this story from a few years ago, and I can't believe it, because this is a story that I would talk about on the radio show here, because it was a wild story. Well, the guy who was the star of the story a few years ago just made news again. So I can bring it up. Ex-lawyer whose pants caught on fire during arson trial a few years ago was just arrested for possession of cocaine. This happened in Miami, Florida. And a few years ago, there was a lawyer there who made national news, and I can't believe I don't remember this story. I can't believe I didn't talk about this story on the show. The lawyer's name a few years ago, I mean, it's still his name. The only difference is he's not a lawyer anymore. He's been disbarred. But a few years ago, a lawyer in Miami named Steven Gutierrez, he made national news 4 years ago when he was representing a man accused of torching his own car for the insurance money. Okay? So he's a lawyer representing that guy. During that trial, which was in March of 2017, the lawyer, Gutierrez, was arguing that the fire may have been caused by spontaneous combustion. And right when he was talking like that, right when he said that, right when he made that point, his own pants erupted in flames. He went running out of the courtroom with smoke pouring out of his right pants pocket. He returned to the courtroom unharmed, and he blamed the battery of his e-cigarette for igniting his pocket. But nobody believed it because his pants caught on fire right when he said that spontaneous combustion caused my client's fire in his car. And as soon as he said that, his pants caught on fire. What's cool about that is finally the old cliche, liar, liar, pants on fire, came true, because the lawyer was telling a lie, obviously, that there's no way that his client did not purposely set his car on fire so he could collect the insurance money. But this is a lawyer trying to get his client off. And so as soon as he said that it was spontaneous combustion, by the way, spontaneous combustion is how the band Spinal Tap lost one of their drummers. But when the lawyer said spontaneous combustion is what caused my client's car to burn, all of a sudden his pants catch on fire. Well, that was 4 years ago. He got disbarred, and that was one of the reasons why he was disbarred. You can't be doing that in a court of law.
You can't spontaneously combust in a court of law? You're not allowed to?
I guess they weren't buying the fact that he spontaneously combusted right at that specific time when he said his client, his car spontaneously combusted. Client wasn't the one who burned the car. Well, this lawyer, this ex-lawyer, is back in the news because the other night, the former Florida lawyer who made those headlines when his pants caught on fire during an arson trial in 2017, he was recently charged with cocaine possession. 32-year-old Steven Gutierrez was arrested a couple of nights ago on Monday night after being pulled over for driving with a broken headlight. All right. Even though he's a former lawyer, he should still realize you shouldn't be driving around with a broken headlight, especially if not your pants pocket is catching on fire, your pants pocket is loaded with blow. During the traffic stop, a Miami-Dade police officer noticed a bulge in Steven Gutierrez's pocket.
Okay.
The cop at first, Coleman, thought it was a knife. That's the first thing the cop thought. It turned out to be a cylinder container with a bag of white powder inside, according to the arrest report. As the cop inspected the substance, Gutierrez blurted out, quote, "That's cocaine," unquote, unquote. Gutierrez's arrest came after his license to practice law was revoked this past October. So he was still a lawyer for a while after his pants caught on fire, but I guess he did other things, and they put all the things together that he did. And the state of Florida said, you know what, even though this is Florida, we're a state full of Florida men, and you're a Florida lawyer, we gotta yank your law license. So,
I mean, if he was honest enough to tell the police officers that he had cocaine in his cylinder, he may be honest enough to be, hey, you know what? My e-cigarette did spontaneous combust. Maybe he wasn't lying because he was under oath in a court of law. He wasn't under oath while he was up there getting pulled over for a broken taillight. So,
well, no, he's not. I don't think he's under oath while he's a lawyer just walking around the courtroom floor. I think you're only under oath
when you
go and sit down and you have to swear to tell the truth.
Yeah, I've never been to court for anything, so I wouldn't know. I only see court stuff on TV because I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Yeah, you know, you are a very good person. You know, earlier in the show, we mentioned how Coleman happens to be atheist. But Coleman is the most honest guy that I've ever met. I mean, yesterday, was it yesterday on the show? Or was it a couple of days ago on the show when the dumbest thing I read all morning was the young woman in Oklahoma who...
The ID.
Yeah, she went to a bar. They confiscated her fake ID because it was a fake ID. She then called the cops. She ratted on the bar because she wanted her fake ID back, and then the cops arrested her. And then I said, when I was in college, I had a fake ID when I was 18 and 19. And I remember we were in Fort Lauderdale, Florida for spring break. And at one of the bars I went to, the doorman took my ID and he said, I'm not giving this back to you. And I said, come on, just give it back. He said, no, get out. I said, can't you give it back? But I didn't call the cops like that young woman in Oklahoma. But then Coleman, after I said that, said, Coleman, you had a fake ID because you love beer. Coleman said he never had a fake ID. He never went into a bar until he was 21.
Right. I did it the right way.
So you never drank beer before you were 21?
I mean, I may have had a beer before I was 21, but it was more like being cool at the party. You know, party with adults, family reunion, stuff like that. But I never had to sneak it, you know?
So for being a guy that's not affiliated with any religion, you're as honest as a guy as I know. I know a lot of Christians who lie a lot more than you, dude, and they've done a lot more. That's saying something.
I don't like going to jail. I've never been, and I don't want to go. So that's really what it is my fear of being in prison for anything.
Yeah, I've gotten arrested a couple of times in my life. It was, I think, three times.
I've been fortunate enough to avoid that experience.
All misdemeanors. A long time ago. I was younger. But, well, you're pretty... impressive, Coleman, especially for a non-believer. Well, anyways, I just thought that was a wild story about the ex-lawyer whose pants caught on fire at an arson trial 4 years ago. He has since lost his license to practice law in the state of Florida. He was just arrested two nights ago in Miami, driving down the road. He was pulled over because he didn't have one of his headlights wasn't working. And how dumb could he be driving around with one headlight when you've got a pocket full of cocaine? Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. You know, Van Halen there, the late Eddie Van Halen's son, Wolfie, Wolfgang Van Halen, he's a very, very talented musician. He played bass with his father's band, Van Halen, for a while. But he's not just a bass player. He's a really, really good guitar player, too. But I bet the only gig that was open in his father's band at the time was bass. And I don't even know if that gig was really open. Eddie just told Michael Anthony, hey, don't come around. My kid's playing bass now. But Wolfgang, not only an extremely talented bass player, but a very, very talented guitarist. I believe he plays keyboards, too. Well, just like his dad, Eddie played keyboards at the beginning of the song Jump. And he's got an album that's coming out now. And he's calling it Mammoth because he's calling his band Mammoth Wolfgang Van Halen because Van Halen's name, the original Van Halen band, his father's band's name before it was Van Halen, was Mammoth. Hmm. And they changed it to Van Halen. And then they took off. But Wolfie is a very talented musician. He's got a band. He's got music out there now. And So it's extremely cold.
Yes.
And by the way, yesterday did break the record for the coldest day in New Orleans for Mardi Gras Day. Even though we didn't have Mardi Gras yesterday because of the pandemic, it was sad Mardi Gras. But yesterday was the coldest day. It broke a 122-year record. In 1899, it was the coldest day on Mardi Gras Day here in New Orleans. And yesterday broke that record. At least something was accomplished yesterday. On Mardi Gras Day, Coleman wasn't able to see his boobs. He wasn't able to do his usual Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras Day jaunt down Bourbon Street, something he's been doing since for a very long time.
I'm heartbroken about that. Still heartbroken.
And if you're driving right now, be careful because there was a little bit of a mist earlier this morning. And that has turned into black ice on a bunch of the roads and bridges. I know this morning there's already been more than one accident on the Crescent City Connection Bridge here in the city.
Uh-oh, I have to be careful getting home then.
Yeah, our traffic guy, the guy that does traffic on this show, Joshua Dowsh, he stuck his head in here and he said, yeah, there's all kinds of people are sliding all over the place. There's all kinds of accidents. It's black ice. Be careful. And I can't believe we still call that black ice. I'm surprised that name hasn't been removed from the lexicon as being negative or racist. So be careful if you're driving around out there and take a little bit slower than normal, because it's slippery out there. We're not used to this here. The state of Texas, Coleman, got pounded, just like we did. And there were tons of people, residents of the state of Texas, who have been without power. And there was a bunch here yesterday, I know that, and over the last couple of days in the state of Louisiana as well. But what came here came through Texas first, the frigid weather, and it knocked power out for many, many, many Texans. And in some cases, they're blaming the power grid. They're saying it was just the really cold temperatures and the really cold weather. But in other cases, the electric companies in Texas were doing what the electric companies here in Louisiana were doing yesterday. They were calling them rolling blackouts, where they would purposely shut down power for some neighborhoods and then start up power in other neighborhoods, because if everybody was using all that power at the same time, they all would have lost power. That happened here. They're calling those rolling blackouts, that the electric companies were actually doing that to people. And one of my Facebook friends lives in Texas and said, hey, I haven't had power in 2 days now. Could you turn my back on and roll somebody else's power off, Mr. and Mrs. Electric Company, please? I mean, how long are we supposed to go with these rolling blackouts? Well, one mayor of a Texas town just quit after going on a Facebook rant.
Uh-oh.
Ripping the people of Texas for complaining about not having power when the cold weather knocked it out. This was some rant. The town in Texas is Colorado City, Texas. I had never heard of that before. And their mayor, his name, Tom Boyd, he was the mayor, but Colorado City, Texas Mayor Tom Boyd has resigned over controversial social media posts that called his constituents lazy for complaining about power outages. This is what he said on Facebook, and I'm quoting, "No one owes you or your family anything. Nor is it the local government's responsibility to support you during trying times like this. Sink or swim, it's your choice. The city and county, along with power providers or any other service, owes you nothing." And the word nothing is in all capital letters. He continued, "If you have no water, you deal without and think outside of the box to survive and supply water to your family. If you were sitting at home in the cold because you have no power and are sitting there waiting for someone to come rescue you because you're lazy, is direct result of your raising." So he's telling these people, if they're upset and complaining that they don't have power, that not only are they lazy, but they're lazy because that's how they were raised.
Wow.
This is the sitting mayor of a city. And then he continued, "Am I sorry that you have been dealing without electricity and water? Yes. But I'll be damned if I'm going to provide for anyone that is capable of doing it themselves." And then he said, "Bottom line, quit crying and looking." Could you imagine if a local mayor of a local town here in Louisiana or city or anybody said that? Anyways, he said, "Bottom line, quit crying and looking for a handout. Get off your ass and take care of your family. Take care of your own family."
So is he trying to say that the energy is free and nobody pays their energy or water bill, so the water companies and the energy companies really don't owe the people that pay the bills electricity and water?
No, Coleman, he's just saying, like that bumper sticker says, sometimes bleep happens.
I guess
shut up. Just shut up and stop complaining.
It was 1 degree in Texas yesterday. I think they have a right to complain about something.
So then, in his next post, in his follow-up post.
But wait, there's more.
No, he did apologize, Coleman, saying he was quitting his job as mayor of Colorado City, Texas, and that he will not be running for re-election. Quote, I would never want to hurt the elderly or anyone that is in true need of help to be left to fend for themselves. I was only making the statement that those folks that are too lazy to get up and fend for themselves but are capable should not be dealt a handout. I apologize for the wording and some of the phrases that were used. And again, Texas has been grappling with a bitter winter blast that has left millions of residents there without power.
I would love to know how he would have survived had his place had no power or water. Would he went out to the lake, the frozen lake, with a bucket and gathered his own water? Would he build a power plant in his backyard to generate his own electricity? Like, what would he have done if he was in a position of the people that are complaining about not having electricity and water? I would love to see what he would do in a survival skill situation.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say here if he lost power or not. I don't know, but soon after his Facebook post, I guess he started hearing it from the constituents. And so, you know, that's the one good thing about social media. I mean, I know social media created the cancel culture in this country, which isn't cool. If you don't like something, you should just not watch it or listen to it. You don't have to try to eliminate it and silence it. But you get people's instant feedback when you say something on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes you get on Facebook and you post things before you even think about the consequences. You just hear something and it makes you flip out and you automatically react and start moving your thumbs and press send before you had a chance to process the information. And then you start apologizing a day later when you get the automatic reaction and feedback from your constituents.
And look, I don't think I agree with everything he said, but I'll be honest with you. It's refreshing to see someone be so damn honest.
It is.
And to tell you how they feel, because in this day and age, especially as we sit here, what's today, February 17th in the year 2021? Because of the already said cancel culture, people don't say nearly as much as they used to say because they don't want to piss people off to the point where people will get together on social media, then go after them to try to make them lose their jobs.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that, and we've seen social media platforms remove people from their platforms, like the MyPillow guy and stuff like that.
The president of the United States.
Yeah, things like that. And we have those who purposely remove themselves from Instagram, like, I don't know, Alec Baldwin, because he don't like the backlash that he get. You know, whatever he's doing, cultural appropriation by his wife or whatnot.
Well, his wife is the reason why Alec Baldwin got off of social media, because she lied about her upbringing and she talks with a fake Spanish accent, even though she was raised in Boston. He was taking so much crap for that he had to bail from social media.
But take this nugget of gold right now, because I can guarantee you that from this point on and the rest of the year, we're not going to get this much honesty from most of our politicians at all on social media.
Maybe you could say the rest of our lives. So the mayor of Colorado City, Texas, Tom Boyd, he just resigned. He just quit after his Facebook rant, after saying residents are lazy. They were complaining that their power went out in this cold.
No, he'll be fine. He's not a lazy guy. He's a pull up by your bootstraps type of guy, clearly.
Hey, Coleman, coming up on the show, speaking of the cancel culture, it looks like William Shakespeare is next on their list. A bunch of teachers, they're ripping up William Shakespeare books. They're saying this guy, he was misogynistic. He was racist. Wait a minute. They're talking about a guy that lived in the 1500s. Stay tuned, because right now, as we speak, there are a bunch of teachers in the United States of America who are trying to cancel William Shakespeare. That's where we're at. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. The Catholic Church says alligator meat is okay to eat on Lenten Fridays. I have a question. Can you cook an alligator in a crock pot? Now that Ash Wednesday is here, go get your piece of ash today. And now you can eat alligators on Lent and Fridays. Great news. Woohoo! Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And we have a new segment on our show that we call Old People News.
This is the best I can find to set the mood.
Well, it's because old people, there's a lot of old people who make the news. They make headlines, but I don't think they get as much coverage as they deserve. And so this is our segment called Old People News. 90-year-old Seattle woman walks 6 miles through snow for vaccine.
Wow, that's impressive.
I mean, how many people that are nowhere near the age of 90 couldn't walk 6 miles through snow to get a vaccine? And, you know, and because she's 90, Coleman, she's probably one of these women that, you know, you go back 80 years, she's probably one of the women, I had to walk up the hill with no shoes in the snow to get to school. And then on the way home, I had to walk up another hill with no shoes and to get home.
And she did all that to get a vaccination shot?
Yes.
You would think that a woman who can walk 6 miles in the snow, especially in the Northwest, probably could survive COVID without the vaccine.
Well, she's 90, Coleman. And the Pacific Northwest is beautiful, even when it's very, very cold and snowing. But a rare winter storm that dumped a foot of snow on Seattle couldn't keep a 90-year-old woman from her first appointment for the coronavirus vaccine. So if she gets the Pfizer vaccine, she's going to have to go back and get a second shot.
Now, is this 6 miles going and coming, or 6 miles to go and another 6 miles back, do you think? So you think it's a 12-mile round trip?
She walked 6 miles, Coleman, round trip.
Okay, so it's three going and three coming.
To get her shot. Her name is Fran Goldman. She said, quote, I've been calling to get an appointment anywhere every morning, every afternoon, and often I've been online at night. So she's 90 and she's been online on the internet late at night.
Yeah, we were just talking about yesterday that 90-year-old guy that was bitching about his buffering AT&T's internet service.
He lived in North Hollywood, California, and he was so upset. Him and his family have been with AT&T for literally like 90 years. So why is the internet so slow in my neighborhood? He took an ad out in the Wall Street Journal. He paid for it out of his own money, thousands of dollars. He said, hey, AT&T, can you make our internet faster in my neighborhood here in North Hollywood, California? And wouldn't you know, it worked. They did it. There's another 90-year-old on the internet. So she finally secured a slot for Sunday morning, but Friday and Saturday, a strong winter storm moved through the region, turning Seattle's normally rainy streets into a winter scene of snowdrifts. Fran Goldman, dressed in fleece pants and a short-sleeved shirt so that the nurse could get to her arm easily. Over that, she layered a fleece zip-up, then a down coat, then a rain jacket. So, several layers, but when you got... Because she's 90 years old and she walked three miles through snow in freezing cold temperatures to get her vaccine. And then she walked another 3 miles home. So when you stripped off the first three or four layers, she only had a T-shirt on. She didn't need a long sleeve shirt because she wanted the nurse to very easily be able to jab her with the vaccine.
John, I have on 7 layers of clothes right now, and I barely survived the walk from the studio to the parking garage. That was only 10 minutes. So I maintain that this 90-year-old woman can walk 3 miles in snow in northeastern cold. She could have survived the coronavirus without the vaccine. She's that strong.
Yeah. Well, Northwestern cold, but still, it was very cold.
Yeah, that one.
She then, so she gets her shot. She then put on snow boots, took out her walking sticks, and ventured back onto the snowy streets.
I wonder if her walking sticks had the tennis balls at the bottom of them.
Well, she's 90. I mean, she's walking in the snow and the freezing cold. She's walking 3 miles to go get a vaccination shot. Then she's got to walk 3 miles home. I got no problem with her using walking sticks. She said, quote, it was not easy going. It was challenging.
I bet.
She made it to her appointment. She was 5 minutes late, and that bothered her. Well, when you're 90. Boy, you know you're old when you have a daughter named Ruth. I mean, who's naming their kids Ruth anymore? Anyways, her daughter, Ruth Goldman, wasn't surprised by her mother's actions. Quote, we're outside people, Ruth said. We love being outside. I was out yesterday at Lake Ontario. She lives in Buffalo. With a wind chill of 6 degrees. So this runs in the family. Young Ruth. Well, anyways, the 90-year-old woman who walked 6 miles through snow to get her vaccine shot. So old people news.
Old people news.
Today. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. New Orleans morning radio show. And here we are on Ash Wednesday, the day after Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras Day. And the traffic out there is pretty rough. There's been reports of a bunch of accidents because of black ice on not only the roads, but the bridges around here. I know Coleman was just looking out the window. He said he could see all the accidents on the Crescent City Connection. There's also been some car fires as well, and they say traffic is heavier this morning and a little bit more backed up and congested than usual. So things are getting back to normal, slowly but surely. So be careful if you're driving out there. We talk about the cancel culture on this show, how we're not really big fans of the cancel culture because and the cancel culture is all because of social media. We didn't have a cancel culture before social media, but now people in power can see with their own two eyes how many people get upset over something and they feel forced to react to that. You know, before the internet, before cancel culture, I remember when people tried to get the television show Married with Children. Tried to get that removed from the airwaves because they thought Al Bundy was just horrible in the way that him and his family were horrible. But they never, the Fox Network or the producers of that show, they never, I don't think they even thought about removing that highly rated, very funny television show back when it was in its prime. It might be different today, though, if a show like Married with Children came on the air, and because of the internet and because of social media, get a bunch of people who just sit there, they sit on their couches, and they've either got their cell phones with them, or they've got a tablet with them, or a laptop, and they don't even have to move, and they can get their voices heard by complaining about something. Well, you see who's the latest in the cancel culture craze here in the United States? William Shakespeare is trying to be canceled by the cancel culture. That's right. That's right. William Shakespeare. There are a bunch of teachers and college professors who say they are ditching him. I guess you could call these woke teachers. They're saying that William Shakespeare was misogynistic and that he was racist. One professor at Arizona State University said that William Shakespeare was a tool used to civilize black and brown people.
What, you mean the writings of William Shakespeare?
Yes. Used as a tool? Yes, Coleman, that's what they're saying. Now, again, these are, remember a few years back, Mark Twain, they wanted to cancel Mark Twain, but instead of canceling him, they just edited his books. They edited the N-word out of his books, like Huckleberry Finn. You know, they, and I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of that word, but at the same time, if that's how some people talked back then when Mark Twain was writing books, he's trying to make a point. Yeah. And we should always learn from our history instead of erasing it.
See, what I think these people are trying to say, the people who are trying to cancel William Shakespeare, I don't think they're saying that William Shakespeare's work was misogynistic and racist. I think they were saying that the works of William Shakespeare were used by colonizers to try to civilize, you know, black and brown culture. They would use William Shakespeare as a tool, like their works, to try to get them to learn how to read certain things, try to get them adapted to their culture. That's what they mean. They don't mean the works themselves. They was talking about how the works were being used in history.
Well, slow down here.
Okay.
William Shakespeare, thou hast been getting canceled. An increasing number of woke teachers are refusing to study the bard. Another name he had. Accusing his classic works of promoting misogyny, racism, homophobia, classism, anti-Semitism, and misogynoir.
Alrighty, whatever that is.
By the way, they're talking about a guy who lived in the 1500s. The 1500s! He was alive from 1564 when he was born to 1616. Old Billy. Yet, there are a bunch of teachers. They don't think we should be no Romeo and Juliet, and none of the William Shakespeare classics. They don't think William Shakespeare should be taught anymore. A slew of English literature teachers said they were ditching the likes of Hamlet, Macbeth, A2, Coleman, Romeo and Juliet, and many more, to instead make room for modern, diverse, and inclusive voices.
From the 1500s?
I don't know how many modern and diverse voices they were there were back in the 1500s. Here's what that professor of English at Arizona State University said. Her name's Ayanna Thompson. She said, quote, Shakespeare was a tool used to civilize black and brown people in England's empire. That's what she said. Teachers also need to challenge the whiteness of the assumption that William Shakespeare's works are universal, insisted Jeffrey Austin, who is head of a Michigan high school's English literature department. So if teachers are going to continue to teach Shakespeare, this guy says they need to challenge the whiteness.
I don't think it was any question that William Shakespeare was white. So how would you be able to challenge the whiteness of William Shakespeare or his works?
Former Washington State public school teacher Claire Brunkel said that she banished William Shakespeare from her classroom to, quote, stray from centering the narrative of white, cisgender, heterosexual men, unquote.
That sounds oddly specific. Because who's to say William Shakespeare was heterosexual? You know, back in those days
he was married with kids.
Yeah, and? You know, back in those days when they performed William Shakespeare's plays, women weren't allowed to be a part of the play, so it was all male actors. So even the male actors would have to play female characters back in the day. So if anything, they were very progressive because they didn't use gender roles to play a gender. They allowed men to play women.
Yeah.
So it seems like he was ahead of the time when you really think about it. This is all confusing
stuff. And by the way, if you're not sure what cisgender is, that's straight. That's heterosexual. Like 90-something percent of people. Claire Brunkel, the teacher, continued, eliminating Shakespeare was a step I could easily take to work toward that, to work towards getting her classroom to stray from centering the narrative of white, cisgender, heterosexual men. And she said, and it proved worthwhile for my students. Other teachers said they're sticking with Willie Shakespeare, but reframing his works through a more modern lens. I mean, you're talking about a guy that wrote in the late 1500s into the early 1600s. So you're going to try to put a modern lens on that?
See, what they're doing wrong is they're trying to teach kids or try to teach their students what they want them to think about William Shakespeare instead of just introducing them to William Shakespeare's work and allowing them to come up with their own conclusions of how they should think about William Shakespeare's works. That's what they're doing. They're instilling their opinions onto the students instead of letting the students, like, discover how they feel about William Shakespeare for themselves, or just eliminating the option to learn about William Shakespeare altogether. That's not necessarily education. That's censorship.
Here's another teacher, Coleman. Sarah Mulhern Gross, an English teacher at High Technology High School in Lincroft, New Jersey, said she was teaching Romeo and Juliet with a side of toxic masculinity analysis.
At a tech school, okay. At a high-tech school.
Yeah, you got to watch out for that toxic masculinity.
Back in the 1500s.
So this is where we're at. Now, William Shakespeare is being canceled by the cancel culture.
How far back are we going to take this? William Shakespeare, 1500s. Are they going to go back to ancient Egyptian pharaohs and start trying to erase hieroglyphics from off the tombs? Are they going to go back to the caveman days and start trying to erase the caveman scribbles on the side of the caves because it was toxic masculinity of the cavemen or whatever? Like, how far back does the cancel culture wants to cancel history of misogyny or whatever they perceive as misogyny or toxic masculinity? How far back do they want to take?
I guess in the 1500s, early 1600s, what some call the greatest, one of the greatest, if not the greatest writers of all time. I guess he wasn't talking enough about black people or gay people. But in the 1500s.
I mean, I played Othello in a Shakespeare play, so they did have people of color, the Moors, as they call them, in William Shakespeare works.
Well, that just add someone else to the cancel cultures list. It's time none other than William Shakespeare. You could text us if you have any thoughts on this. Don't you think this is ridiculous? Can't these teachers say, well, this is one of the not only greatest writers of all time, the English playwright, the English poet, and he's regarded as the greatest writer in English history. Can't you at least say he wrote this, oh, I don't know, in the 1500s? Around 1600? Things were a little bit different back then. But again, instead of learning from history, there are people who just want to erase it, and I am no fan of that. Coming up, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Also, former Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee just did an interview, and he explained how that band, when they were on tour, were able to smuggle drugs not only into different cities and states, but into different countries as well. Hey, and Krispy Kreme has a new donut. Stay tuned for all those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Tommy Lee, the old Motley Crue drummer, recently did an interview, and he explained how the band used to get drugs from city to city, state to state, country to country when they were on tour. Tommy Lee said, quote, I never put it in or on my body. He said, but what he would do if they were traveling by bus, the guys in Motley Crue would utilize a pop top on the vehicle's back ceiling, which doubled as ventilation and an emergency exit. And Tommy Lee said, quote, as soon as we'd stop and pull into immigration, customs, or wherever, we'd pop the top, go nice and slow, take everything, put it up on the roof of the bus, and close the ventilation. And then as soon as they pulled away, he would open it up again and pull all the dope back in the back into the bus.
You think customs would be aware of that trick? Because I've seen custom agents find drugs in the weirdest spots on automobiles, like in tires, under hoods of trunks, stuff like that.
Yeah, but evidently this worked. And I mean, you know, authorities knew Motley Crue, at least two or three of them, were hardcore drug users. And so when they were on the on an airplane, he said, quote, on an airplane, you've got your headliner upholstery, Tommy Lee said. He said, we take bleeping cocaine, whatever it was, do as much as we could before we get there. Whatever's left, we'd stick above my seat. For some reason, there was a little bleeping rip in the headliner. So we'd bleeping get the bleeping bag of blow and just really crank it down as little as we could, and bleeping just get it up inside the bleeping headliner and put it back with a little piece of double-sided tape, and you couldn't even tell.
So to recap, basically bleeping, 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 and then with the bleeping on top of the bleeping and the bleeping, bleeping, bleeping over his headrest.
Well, that's how they would smuggle drugs on their tour bus and on their airplane when they were on tour, Motley Crue, back in the day.
Well, that's bleeping interesting.
Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest bleeping thing I read all morning. And wait till you hear what this guy in Tennessee did when he went to when he applied to get a handgun. He got arrested, and wait till you hear for what he got arrested for. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. It's next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's about that time of our gig where I tell you the dumbest thing that I read all morning. Chattanooga man charged with impersonating former President Barack Obama on gun permit application. And this guy looks nothing like Obama. This guy's white. This happened in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Police are charging a man from there after they say he forged former President Barack Obama's name on an application for a handgun permit. Chattanooga, Tennessee officers arrested Robert Joseph Halleck.
You idiot.
The other day, he's charged with perjury, forgery, and identity theft. An affidavit obtained by the local news there say Halleck had been denied a gun permit request using his own name back in November due to an active warrant for his arrest in the state of Michigan. The arrest report says Halleck sent another application on January 21st, except this time he used the name President Barack H. Obama instead.
Did he actually write out the word president, or he just put Barack H. Obama?
No, it says President Barack H. Obama.
I need a black lesbian from Skokie. Can you find me one?
He used that name instead, and he included, along with that form with that name on it, a $50 check.
You still take checks?
Yeah. The report says Halleck's application also contained a letter bearing the United States of America seal with the United States Department of State letterhead.
He was going all out with this one.
It's a violation of state law to forge a person's name on a gun permit application. That's pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
Out of all the names he could have picked, he could have picked a brother, a cousin, you know, a no name, a dead person, anybody. He went with the former president of the United States of America with a presidential seal signed letter. Well, forward signed letter.
Well, maybe he thought he could pull a fast one.
That wasn't that quick.
But then again, Coleman, that's why he in this story featured on our segment that we call the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Oh.
You'd be on it too if you used former President Barack Obama's name to try to get a gun permit because you couldn't get one with your name. And this guy doesn't look anything like Obama either. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.